I'm meeting Komlan So for lunch at Sue's, a Liberian restaurant tucked inside a brick building on Providence's west side. So is Liberian, one of about 15,000 who call the Ocean State home. And he says he always sees someone he knows here.
Hello, how are you doing?
So is soft-spoken, serious and polite, and he's kind enough to take a break from his graduate studies at Salve Regina University, his internship at the Naval War College, and running a fledgling nonprofit for newly arrived refugees. Inside Sue's, the menu is written on a whiteboard. Chef and owner Sue Carter, known as Auntie Sue, explains a few dishes. First, tobergi.
The tobergi up there is made from like the little tiny eggplant. It's an eggplant family.
It's kind of a stew served with rice. And then there's fufu.
Fufu is like dumpling. Ooh. Yes. It's molded into one size. And then you'll make the soup with it. You'll get the chicken, the smoked turkey, and the beef. And you put some tomato paste. You put your seasoning in it, and you make that pepper soup.
Today, Auntie Sue is offering a dozen dishes, including cassava leaf, fried plantains, and rice bread.
And we have the homemade ginger beer.
But there's something on this menu that will definitely be on most Liberians' Christmas table, jollof rice. It's a bit like jambalaya, and it's a staple.
If I take you back to Liberia on Christmas Day, definitely jollof rice or the kidney beans. But Christmas is fun in Liberia.
Even more so this year, she says, without the threat of Ebola. Sue's sister, Teresa Sharp, emerges from the kitchen wearing a hairnet. She explains that lots of West African countries cook some version of jollof rice, adding different meat or just vegetables. But she says she might be biased, but Liberians do it best.
We put chicken breast and sometimes we add like the fresh corned beef, we put it in there, and then mix vegetables and a little bit of tomato paste, and then season it.
So. Okay, that's what I'll have. And ginger beer,
yeah,
please.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Komlan So orders the tobergi, and we take a seat in the dining room where a TV and radio vie for dominance. I ask So what he's planning for Christmas.
I probably spend out with my brother. He had his girlfriend take coke and invite me over. Just by myself, so they invite me over and I go spend some time there with them.
Our dishes arrive. So is a plate of steaming white rice with a small bowl full of tobergi, the eggplant dish. It's a deep reddish brown and it tastes a bit like chili.
This is jollof rice with plantains.
My plate of jollof rice comes mounded with plantains and two perfectly fried chicken drumsticks. So looks around the restaurant and says he's proud of what Liberians have contributed to Rhode Island ever since they began fleeing civil war to resettle here. For many young refugees like So, Liberia is more of a fading memory, accessible only through community here and, of course, food.
I grew up in Ivory Coast in Ghana. Yeah, so
in refugee camps.
Yeah. You know, people carry their culture with them, so whatever they learn, they still do the same thing, just like Liberians do here in Rhode Island, same thing. Yeah.
Like gathering the extended family and celebrating with dishes that taste like home. I'm Kristen Gourlay in Providence.
And I'm Nate Mooney with a story of Christmas traditions that have traveled from Mexico to Rhode Island. I got some help from a native of Mexico.
My full name is Juan Carlos Fierros. I grew up in Mexico City, but I've been living in Rhode Island for over 20 years now.
Juan Carlos Fierros is sitting at the bar of his restaurant, Chilangos, in Providence, and he's taking a break from lunchtime setup to let me know about some of his Christmas traditions as a youth in Mexico City.
What I do remember the most was, you know, we were excited as a kid for the month of December. We were looking for, because Christmas is not just the Christmas day, it's pretty much the whole entire month. Everything starts with December 12th, the festivities for the Virgin of Guadalupe.
The Virgin of Guadalupe is the most important saint in Mexico. In Mexico City, people make a pilgrimage, sometimes for days, to her principal cathedral. They walk barefoot and then make the final leg of the journey down on their knees. People give the pilgrims bread along the way, musicians serenade them, and they celebrate the Virgin of Guadalupe's birthday on December 12th. Just a few days later come the posadas. As Fierros remembers it, a different family hosts a party each day from December 16th until Christmas Eve.
The first one is usually held by the church after the mass, they share food, fruits, candies, and of course the piñatas, part of the huge tradition. So it goes on from the 16th till the 24th. It's just everyday party.
After all those parties, Fierro celebrates Christmas on the night of December 24th.
So we got the dinner the night of the 24th. It's where all the people, all the family get together and, you know, we celebrate with tons of food. And again, as a kid, you expect him breaking the piñata.
What's inside the piñata?
When I was a kid, it was tons of fruit and very little candies, but it was most like fruit.
These days, the kids in Fierro's family are a little too old for piñatas, but Christmas dinner is still a big affair. Fierro says they have a late-night meal, eaten around midnight. And then the next day, some laid-back time with family.
Just spend the 25th Christmas all together, and, you know. Some of the kids playing chess, some of them playing cards. Yes, we do have a Christmas tree, but we don't stop there with presents. For us, it's until January 6th. Día de Reyes is when all the kids get all the presents.
El Día de Reyes, or Three Kings Day, celebrates the day the Bible tells of wise men who brought gifts to the baby Jesus. Now that he lives in Rhode Island, Fierro says he continues some of the Christmas traditions from his youth. But the posadas, the tradition of going door to door, sharing food and songs with the neighborhood, that's hard to recreate.
It's not the piñatas. You can get the piñatas around here, but it's just the vibe, you know. All the cantos and...
Those are like hymns?
Yeah. And, you know, they give you a candle, so you go from the church to whoever's house. Yeah, it is a cultural thing.
He may not have the posadas exactly as he remembers them, but Fierro does celebrate Christmas with his sisters, nieces, and nephews. That's one part of his heritage Fierro can hold on to, even though his childhood home in Mexico City is thousands of miles away. For Rhode Island Public Radio, I'm Nate Mooney.
And I'm Elizabeth Harrison. The holidays are a time to enjoy friends, family, and good food, but that can be complicated when money is scarce. This year, tens of thousands of Rhode Islanders relied on a network of community food banks to make ends meet. At the Silver Lake Community Center on the western edge of Providence, director Julie Piscopello shows me what's in the typical bag for her clients this week.
Like cereal and canned goods and milk. Right now we do have frozen hams that are in the freezer, and I'll grab one of those, and that's a rarity.
So the ham for Christmas dinner?
Yes.
And it looks like some canned corn, maybe some beets, green beans.
Fruit cocktail, canned potatoes, dried cherries.
Many of the people who visit this food pantry are regulars, and Piscopello knows them pretty well. She serves up to 100 families every month, a number that has not gone down, even as unemployment has improved. The economy may be getting better, but Piscopello says it's hard to see it in this neighborhood.
Every month I see a new face, a new person moving into the area. It's constant.
And you don't feel like the numbers are leveling off at all?
No, I don't. Honestly, not here. Maybe somewhere else, but not here. Most of our clients are on food stamps, and they usually by the end of the month, close to the end of the month, they're running out low on food, so they come in to supplement.
That must be tough then when you have a big holiday coming at the end of the month.
It is, and years ago they used to issue the food stamps prior to Thanksgiving and Christmas, but they stopped doing that.
After years of working with families in need, Piscopello has developed a holiday tradition of her own. Every year, she and her mother and sister adopt a family for Christmas.
This year, we're adopting a woman who was a former homeless woman, and she just got an apartment, and she, you know, moved in with nothing. So from bed sheets to pots and pans, we're helping her with.
Wow, that's great. If somebody else wanted to do that, how would they go about it?
If somebody wanted to adopt a family from our agency, they would just have to call here. One phone call and we can easily set up a family. Yeah. I mean, it's approaching, Christmas is approaching, but we would be able to find someone.
Piscopello says the need at the Silver Lake Community Center and others like it goes all year long, not just at the holidays when people often think about giving to families in need. Her door is always open for donations of peanut butter, canned goods, or anything else you have to help out. Elizabeth Harrison, Rhode Island Public Radio.